Oasis, we're going to do a message that's called Rest for the Weary. Rest for the Weary. You know, we've been talking a lot here lately about rest and trusting in the Lord and resting in Him, and that there is a place of rest for the believer. There is a place of rest for the Christian believer that truly believes that Jesus Christ died on the cross, was buried, and rose from the dead for their eternal life and salvation. And that rest is part of what we're going to focus on this morning. But let's start with prayer. Father God, we come before You in the name of Jesus. We're lifting up Your Son and exalting Him as our Lord and our Savior, as the Son of God and our friend that has done what needed to be done to allow us to live this life, to live in the fullness of Your glory, to live out the life that You have called us to. And Father, this morning I pray, open our eyes and our ears and our understanding, that we can understand Your Word as we go through Your Scripture, Lord, and that You cause it to penetrate our hearts and allow change and bring about change in our life, Lord. Cause us to trust in You more than ever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So the life that we live, when we're talking about rest, the life we live is not always easy. You ever figured that out? Okay. Sometimes things don't go right. Ask my wife about her trip to the gas station this week. Was it easy? No. We had issues with the key fob of the van, and literally just sitting there, and it was not doing anything. And we knew it was coming. It was something that had kind of started a while back, and eventually, so I get the panic phone call, I'm stranded at the gas station. So life can be difficult at times. It's not always just free-flowing and everything's happy and all the time. Sometimes it can be downright hard just to keep your head above water, okay? Like, life is getting to be overwhelming. So much stuff is going on. I think of it like if we're in a boat and, with this life, there's so much involved in life anymore that we tend to take stuff on, and pretty soon you start filling your boat up, right? And you get so much stuff in a boat, and if you've ever seen those old flat-bottom boats, you get a whole bunch of stuff in them. Pretty soon, they're just riding with the edge of the boat is just barely above the water, right? Somebody moves wrong and it dips and a little bit of water comes in. Okay, well, if you're in a boat and you've got that much stuff in it, if a storm comes along, right, what's going to happen? It's going to spill into your boat. Okay, and we'll get to that. We're going to read a little bit about the disciples and them being in a boat and the waves coming over the edge of the boat, okay, and how they dealt with that and what happened. But if you're in a boat and it starts filling in and the storm comes, it can get to the point where it could sink your boat, okay, and really bring you low. Okay, then you're swimming, you're treading water, right, in the middle of an ocean or a lake, just treading water, trying to make it work. Sometimes it seems like we get things kind of under control. Maybe we start dipping out of the boat, scooping some things out. We start getting a little bit better, but then another storm comes along and it fills back up, or something spins out of control. Sometimes it's things at work. You're at work and things can be going along pretty smooth, and then some guy in a white tie in a cushy office somewhere decides some changes needed to be made, and your whole world goes upside down. Things are no longer easy. It's more difficult than it's ever been. Okay, our relationships with people. Okay, we have them. Everybody has relationships with people. Okay, it's something that we can be going along good, and then maybe somebody moves away, that you were close to. Maybe somebody new moves into the picture. Okay, I know of friendships that have strained when somebody new enters the picture and it begins to pull on that relationship, and even families, individual families feel that. Okay, when that starts happening, the boat starts rocking a little bit, okay, and a little bit of water might start filling into that boat, and it makes it a little bit harder in life. Okay, with our family and friends, sometimes things are going along just fine. Okay, then somebody makes a comment that kind of presses on a sore spot. Okay, and then pretty soon you've got some resentment, you've got feelings of rejection, you've got a little bit of bitterness maybe that builds up. Okay, you feel yourself kind of feeling pretty crummy, okay, after hanging out with them. And this doesn't have to be just family, but friends and people. Sometimes things are said and done, and then you start feeling kind of crummy when you hang out with them. And instead of feeling better, like a friend should uplift, now you walk away feeling worse than before you engaged with that person. It makes you feel kind of heavy, okay? And if you have heavy stuff in your boat, what happens? It brings it down, right? Okay? That ongoing maintenance of our relationships is a huge part of the Christian life. It's a huge part of life. Okay, just having work relationships, family relationships, friends, all that is a huge part of it. It literally can take up the majority of your time. Okay, your emotions, okay, and your effort. Okay, just trying to patch up, maintain, build it up, all that with your relationships with other people. So then when you're a Christian, you add in one more factor, because who's our best friend? Who should we have as our top priority? Okay, we have God, and we know deep down that He should be our highest priority in life. He's our creator. Okay, everything we can see and touch and taste and feel, He made it, right? I mean, He created us. Okay, we know that He should be a high priority, and yet a lot of times we put Him on a back burner. Okay, and what ends up happening is we're still friends with God, we still have a relationship with God, but He's kind of in the back simmering. Okay, while we stir the pot that's about to scorch to the bottom, okay, or we stir the pot that's about to boil over, and we're dealing with what's right in front of us while God is back here. And occasionally we might stir that pot or have a little bit to do with Him. Okay, balancing your life and your relationships can be hard. Okay, especially if you're trying to keep your God relationship and your other relationships separate. Okay. When you try to, you're kind of having to act a little differently around your Christian friends versus the people that are not Christians, and you're beginning, you get kind of pulled in different relationships. You kind of have to change a little bit depending on who you're hanging out with. That adds an element of emotion, an element of pressure, an element of work kind of thing, effort that you have to put into that to be able to live that way. So I'm going to try to encourage you to be yourself, okay, to be who you are, to be a believer in Jesus all the time, just to live your life that way. It's okay that people know that you're a Christian. Okay, being a Christian and developing your walk with God can get to the point where it becomes a burden. Okay, if you're not careful with it, it becomes a labor just to be a Christian because, I got to go to church. I need to read my Bible. And it becomes these things that are like a have to instead of a get to. Okay? And sometimes people shine up, okay? And they shine up and they put on your fake smile and you put yourself in that environment. You're going to be around your churchy acquaintances. And yet on the inside, it's just an act. Okay? On the inside, that you got some things that are messed up. On the inside, where you're sitting financially. On the inside, where you're sitting in your health. On the inside, what keeps you up at night and keeps your mind stirred at night so you can't sleep. On the inside, you might be hurting, might be worried, might have doubts, might have fears. Okay, but for the moment, you try to convince yourself and the people around you that everything is okay. That takes a continual effort to try to be somebody that you don't really feel like you are. So knowing that life can be hard like that and relationships can be such a strain, I have good news for you. Okay, I have really good news for you. We're going to start with what Jesus said to us in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Notice the first three words, come unto me. All ye that labor and you're heavy laden. And He says, I will give you rest. Okay? Our rest comes from Jesus. Okay? He's the one that, like I said before the service, you're talking about entering into the Sabbath, entering into Jesus. He is the one that gives us that rest. Okay? Jesus says to come to me. In other words, be where I'm at, and I will give you rest. Remember that, because at the end of this message, you're going to be reminded of coming unto Jesus and how the disciples sought to do that and what happened when they did. Jesus says to come to me and be where I'm at, and I will give you rest. The writer of Hebrews describes in great detail, especially I love chapter 4, but he talks about the rest that we enter into. And he describes it as a place in life where we are not relying on our own works and our own effort anymore. We're not relying on our own solutions, but we're simply trusting in the Almighty God. We're believing that He had a plan, He's implementing or implemented that plan, and that we believe on that. Hebrews 4:9 says, "There remains therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into God's rest has, or his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, just as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief." So the labor, the striving, the struggling, the labor should be to what? Enter into the rest. Okay, find that place of peace, and it's going to be found in Jesus. That's pretty straightforward. There's a rest and a peace for the righteous children of God. Okay, and I'm going to use that word righteous a lot. The righteous children of God, there is an anointing of favor that encompasses around you just like a shield. Okay, you have to stop thinking that only bad things are coming your way, or that you messed up and so now something bad's going to happen. You know, my wife, when that van wouldn't start, she could have started thinking, "Oh, it's because I didn't spend time with God this morning," or she could have ran all these scenarios in her mind. I'm hoping she didn't. I don't think she did, but the idea is that you can expect bad things to be coming into your life, thinking that, well, I'll probably never get out of debt. I'll probably never be healthy. I'll probably never get through this. You know, that relationship's always going to be bad. It's just, it'll never, we'll always have unforgiveness between me and that person, or whatever it is. Okay? You can be thinking that negative stuff, or you can realize that God has encompassed a truth, a shield around you. And the truth is that goodness is trying to come your way, and that he is wanting to pour that favor and that blessing upon you. Look at Psalms 5:12. He says, "For thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield." Okay? So with this shield of favor around you, it's like this invisible shield that everything that comes your way now has to pass through the shield that he has encompassed you with. Okay, and if God says it's a shield of favor, that means when things come your way, it is going to be favorable. This is how, literally, how God tries to and does work things out together for good for all them that love God. You know that scripture? I don't think I pulled it up, but it's in Romans chapter 8. God truly does make things all work together for good to them who love God and are called according to his purpose. Okay, that's how that happens. All things work together for your good because God has encompassed you as a righteous child of God with a shield of favor. So that as he looks at you and as things come your way, as he sends things to you, it's going through his shield of favor before it gets to you. That's how he can ensure that it will work together for your good. Your part is simply to trust him. Okay? Your part is simply to delight yourself in the Lord, to commit your ways unto him, to rest in him, knowing and believing that it is your faith in the completed works of Jesus that he is requiring of you. That's the requirement. That's the big one, right? If he requires something, it is your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and his completed works. Look at Psalm 37, verse 3. It says, "To trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." Okay, trust in God and do what you know in your heart is the right thing to do. Trust in the Lord and do good. Okay, trust in the Lord, believing that he is with you. You can trust him. He is faithful. And then do what you know is the right thing to do in your heart. And he will make sure that you are fed or taken care of. He will make sure your needs are met. You delight yourself in him. Verse 4 said, "Delight yourself in the Lord, also in him." Okay, he wants you to delight in him. That word delight, okay, in the Hebrew it means to be soft and pliable. Okay, be soft and pliable. Think about you're making cookies and you got to knead the dough kind of stuff. Soft and pliable. Okay, something that you can shape. You're working with soft Play-Doh, right? Fresh out of the can kind of stuff. Okay, you can mold that and shape it into something. Okay, to be pliable implies that letting Him shape you into who He wants to be is what He desires. When you yield yourself to God and then your desires begin to line up more with His desires, He is more than willing to accommodate you and bless you with the desires of your heart. You want to see people come to Jesus? You want to be used by God? You want to be a, you know, full of love? You want to minister grace unto people? You want to share the gospel? You want to do any of that kind of stuff? Your will is lined up perfectly with His, and He is going to give you the desires of your heart. Okay? Because it is so meshed and molded and shaped into what He wants you to be. And you're doing those things that are, of course, then pleasing unto Him. Psalm 37 says to rest in the Lord and to wait patiently for Him. Okay, to rest in Him doesn't mean you're going to sit and do nothing, right? That's not resting in the Lord. Okay, sometimes we call it on Sunday afternoons, I'm going to rest in the Lord, kind of lay on the couch with your feet up kind of thing. Okay, that's one version of resting in the Lord. But the one that I'm talking about here, when we truly enter into rest, it is walking by faith. Literally. That is resting in the Lord. That means it's not based on me and my effort. It's based on Him and His. Okay, I'm going to rest in that He is strong enough. I'm going to trust in Him to get me there. It's kind of like some of you guys watch football or ladies watch football as well. But if you think about the quarterback that carries the team, okay, the one that the rest of the team's not that great, but they got an awesome quarterback. And when it comes down to it in the fourth quarter and it's on the line, who do they expect is going to score that touchdown? That quarterback will do it on their own effort, their own strength. They will run the extra mile. They'll do the extra things. They'll take the hit. They'll do all that they need to do because they are bearing that. And some of the other guys in the team, they're okay with that. They're like, he's the best player on this entire team. Give him the ball. Okay, it's like that with Jesus, that we trust in Him. We realize that He is the best. He is totally capable of doing what needs to be done to get us there, to get me through this, to get over this, through it, whatever. I'm going to give Him the ball and say, go Jesus, right? Let Him run it. Let Him do what needs to be done. To rest in Him, like I said, doesn't mean we're not going to do anything. It means that whatever you do it in faith, believing that He is going to bring His plan to fruition, that He will do the best. Okay, He always has your best in mind. We want peace in our life. We want joy in our life. We want calm waters in our life so our boat's not always overflowing and filling up. We have to believe and trust in God's ability to bring that calmness and that peace and that joy to pass in our life. Psalm 37:11 says, "But the meek shall inherit the earth, and they shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace." Okay, to be meek in this scripture, it means to bring yourself low. Okay, humble yourself. It means to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that He may exalt you in due time. That is to be meek. Okay, the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. To be meek or humble, humility means to be dependent on God. It means I'm not saying I can do it. I'm saying my God can do it. My God can do anything. With man, it's impossible. But with my God, all things are possible. Right? It's about believing and trusting in Him that He can do what needs to be done. Okay? It means that you have given up control over your situation. You know, you want things to happen. You know, you want relationships or you want job or you want money or you want these things to be different. You want change in those areas. It's talking about humbling yourself and saying, I can't force that to happen. Therefore, I'm going to give it to the one who can. I'm going to give it to the one that can get things done. And I'm going to give up control and allow Him to move mightily on my behalf. Trusting and depending on Him is where your greatest peace will be found, is when you're just giving things over to Him. God, I'm just trusting in You. I'm just giving this unto You. And the more that you live that way, the easier it will make your life, the more peace you will find in your life. Look at Psalm 37:39. It says, "But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble." Okay, salvation means freedom. Okay, Christians, we need freedom. Okay, salvation is freedom. Okay, the freedom of the righteous comes from the Lord. The freedom from the bondages, the freedom from guilt, shame, poverty, sickness, fear, death, all that freedom comes through salvation through the Lord. It is something that He provides, something that He has done. Okay, it's something that He wanted to do. You can't get things in order enough to give you the kind of peace and the freedom that God can give you. You can't say, well, if I just do this, 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 and this, then I'll have more peace in my life. Then I won't have so much in my boat. I'm telling you, God can get you to that place of freedom. He can get you to that place of peace that is everlasting, that continues on. It's not just a temporary fix. I know some of you guys listen to Christian radio, and Caleb has got, I think it's not Morris Cirillo, who's the other evangelist? I just spaced his name. Well, you guys know who I'm talking about. He told about his mom or grandmother that had a place that she would go when her husband that was kind of abusive, and she had this place that she would go, and she would take wine, bread, and cheese, and she would go to her bedroom and just hunker down. And that's where she found her sanctuary of peace. But that kind of a peace was only temporary. Okay, and that's what we try to do. You know, gosh, feeling a little uptight about things, I think I'll go binge, okay, on, yeah, you know, you get uptight about things. Some people go and they binge on something, okay, whether it's ice cream or movies or buying, shopping online. Oh, I need to buy something. And they get online and they'll meet that need, that inside feeling or that craving, and they'll fulfill it with a short, temporary wine, cheese, and bread kind of thing. Okay, this kind of peace lasts. This kind of peace brings the waters calm. This kind of peace is what makes it smooth sailing so that things aren't so out of control. Okay, Psalm 31:19. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Okay, how awesome, how great is his goodness and his favor and his blessing and his freedom and his peace. All that is set aside for you. It has your name on it. This goodness I want to give to Sherry. This goodness I want to give to Bob. This goodness I want to give to Leon. Okay, this is what God has said. I have set this aside. I have got this stuff ready to give to you. Okay, and He wants to bless you. He just simply wants you to ask Him to reveal His goodness to you. Okay, that is a huge prayer that the body of Christ lacks doing often enough, but is to pray and say, God, I could really use some goodness right now. I could really use some blessing. I could really use you to pour out and have that favor, you know, penetrate my life. I could need some of that. I could use some of that. Okay? Because God will answer that prayer. Because do you know whose prayers God's ears are open to? The righteous. God's ears are open to the righteous. Look at Psalm 34:15. It says, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. But the righteous cry, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. Proverbs 15:29 says, the Lord is far from the wicked, but He heareth the prayer of the righteous. 1 Peter 3:12 says, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. God wants you to trust in Him and to turn your life over to Him, to humble yourself and stay pliable in front of Him so that He can sustain you during that time. In the Hebrew, when it talks about sustaining, it means to gather for measuring and holding together in one place. Okay, Psalm 55:22 says, to cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. He shall sustain you. Okay? It means that when you cast your care upon the Lord, that He has promised that He will sustain you or hold you together. You will not fall apart, in other words. Your boat will not sink, in other words. Okay? You will be sustained by the Lord. Listen to His promise to you in Psalm 92, verse 12. He says, "The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of God." Okay? God blesses the righteous. God blesses the righteous. Okay? God blesses the righteous. He gives peace to them. He holds them together. He sustains the righteous. If you've been born again today, you are the righteous. You are the righteous. The promises, the inheritance became yours. Okay, you're in a special place with God, not because of your good looks, not because of your good works, or lack thereof. Okay, you're in a special place with God. Because God made you righteous, okay? Then He determined that these things will be for the righteous, okay? There's a special blessing for you because you believed and trusted on God. If you know the Scriptures, you know that in there, Abraham is called the father of faith, okay? He is often referred to as our father, okay? They talked about the father of faith, or Abraham being known as our father. He was called the father of faith simply because he was made righteous or right with God because he believed and trusted God. Speaking about the faith of Abraham, the Bible says, Genesis 15, 6, it says he simply believed in the Lord and he counted it to him for righteousness. He simply believed in and trusted in God and his plan. Okay, that word counted is kind of an odd one, but it's like if you have five presents. Okay, and you're going to count them out to different people. Okay, I have two presents. I'm going to give two to Jeff, and I'm going to give two more to Nancy. And this fifth one, I'm going to give to Emily. I'm going to count it to Emily. Okay, you see how that works? It's counting them out. I give two here and two here, and I got one left. I count it to Emily. Okay, righteousness was counted to Abraham. Okay, it was God saying, "I count this to Abraham because he believed in me." Simply, that was it. He trusted in me, therefore I count righteousness to him because he believed and trusted in me. He believed in God's plan. So you are justified and made righteous and counted as righteous by God because of your faith in him. Galatians 3:6 says, "Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, those that believe on Jesus, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham." So just like God imparted it unto Abraham, that righteousness, he has done that unto you. Galatians 3:26 says, "For you are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ." Not by certain keeping this, keep doing that. You got to do all these things. It is by your faith that you're made right with God. You're not trying to work out your own righteousness. Okay? You are righteous already, and that righteousness came upon you or was counted to you when you believed in the completed works of Jesus Christ. Romans 10:4 says, "For Christ is the end of the law to everyone that believes." Okay, it was a new covenant, that stepping over. You are made righteous by your faith in Christ, not by your works and your labors and your keeping of your made-up list of do's and don'ts. Romans 3:20 says, "Therefore by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is simply the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without or apart from the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets." They said it was coming. "Even the righteousness of God, which is simply by faith in Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference, For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Nobody was able to uphold the law perfectly except Jesus Christ. So when he came and fulfilled it, he was able to complete what God had said needed to be done. Therefore, our faith goes in him because he made it possible. He did it. All of mankind fell into one category, according to that last verse. It says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Every one of us, everyone fell into one category, and that was the category of the lost. Okay? Destined for eternal separation from God, apart from Jesus Christ. That means that there's only one way to heaven. Okay? It means there's only one way to salvation. There's only one way to be made righteous with God and be in right standing, and that is in through your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who strive and struggle to earn their way to heaven or live their life like they have a debt they need to pay back. Okay, I've sinned against God, therefore I have to pay this debt back. Okay, to live that way, the way means that they are not living in faith. They are not going to make it. You can't earn that. You can't pay that debt back no matter how good you are. No matter how many things you do, you can't pay that debt back. Again, speaking of Abraham, Romans 4:1. What shall we say then about Abraham our father as pertaining to the flesh has found? That's his works, his outward stuff. For if Abraham were justified by works, he would have whereof to glory, but not before God. For what says the Scripture? Abraham simply believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now the him that worketh, or still working, earning their way to heaven, is the reward not received or reckoned by grace, but of debt. You're trying to work off a debt. But verse 5 says, but to him that worketh not, to him that rests in the Lord, him that worketh not, but simply believes on him that justified the ungodly, his faith is counted unto him for righteousness. That's what makes you right with God. Because of your faith in Jesus Christ, you're no longer in debt to God. Okay, you no longer have a debt you need to work off or to pay. Your sin debt has been paid with your faith. I heard a preacher recently that said the currency in the kingdom of God is faith. Currency in the kingdom of God is faith. Okay? Faith is how you paid your debt. Faith is what made that happen. So if you're still trying to pay off the debt with your works, then you have not paid it with your faith. Faith is what pays the debt. Faith is what made it happen. Okay? Romans 5:17, let me wrap this up. For if one man by one man's offense, death has reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, namely Jesus Christ. Okay, your righteousness is a free gift of God. Look at 5:19, a couple verses later. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, talking of Adam, so by the obedience of one, named Jesus, shall many be made righteous. Okay, and again in Romans 10:9-10, says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You have been brought together with God, made righteous by God, by a plan and an act of God through Jesus Christ. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:19. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us then the word of reconciliation. Now we then are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you, and Christ said, be reconciled to God. Be that way. Right? For he has made Jesus to be sin for us, who knew no sin, so that we could be made the righteousness of God in him. Okay, our righteousness came through and in Jesus. Now, I mentioned earlier that I would talk about the disciples in their boat. Okay, now you know the calm waters, the peace, the rest, the joy. The things that we desire in life only comes when you realize that it is not you that calms the storms. It is not you that makes that happen. It is not you that prevents the waves from crashing over the side of your boat. It is when you humble yourself and you admit your dependence on God, Jesus then calms the storms. Jesus speaks to the winds, he speaks to the waves, and they become smooth as glass. Okay, look at Matthew 8:23 as we wrap this up. And when he, Jesus, was entered into the ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest, a storm in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves. But he was at rest. He was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he says unto them, why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and he rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Notice that the disciples made sure that they were where Jesus is. Jesus got into the boat. I'm getting into the boat, right? I want to go where he leads me. I want to go where he's going, because that's the place where he was able to rest in the middle of all this stuff, because he knew that it's Jesus, man. He can do that. His disciples simply followed him into the ship. Okay? When the storms came up, they knew who to go to. They knew who to turn to, because he's right there. He's at rest in the middle of this. I want that rest. I want that peace. If he can have that, let's go to him. Okay, I'm sorry, we've got to wake you up, but I want what you got, kind of thing, right? Okay, they turned to Jesus. They cried out to Jesus, and he heard their cry. They cast all their care, all the worry, all the stress on Jesus, saying, Jesus, it's all on you. You got to save us, or we're going to perish. And he did exactly that. He saved them. Okay? They cast their care upon him because they knew that he cared for them. Jesus reminded them to not be afraid, but simply maintain your faith in the power of God. It's okay. It's going to be okay. Maintain that faith in him. So when your boat gets full and the storm comes along and it begins to stress your life out and to overflow your boat, cast your care upon the Lord. Say, Lord, I can't do this. I don't know how to make that happen like that. You can do this. Simply trust in him. His ears are open to the righteous. His ears are open to you. And he will give you the desires of your heart, because you are his precious and righteous child of God. There's a special blessing for the righteous, and you are that righteous. He wants to take care of you. He wants to be your Lord. He wants you to cast that burden on him, and he will take it and bear that burden for you. Come unto me, he said, all ye that are weary, and I will give you rest. That's what he said. Amen. Father God, we're praising you this morning. I just thank you, Lord, that you do care about us that much, that you, out of all the stuff that goes on in this life, Lord, that you pay attention to each one of our individual lives. You know exactly how full our boat is. You know exactly the storms that are coming against us, Lord. And we know that you can speak to those storms, that you can handle it, that you can take these cares and the burdens and the stresses of life, and that you can make it calm, Lord. We trust in you. We're thanking you that you live within us. We thank you that you never leave us nor forsake us. We thank you that when you're in the boat, we're in the boat, Father. We thank you that our will is lining up with your will. We thank you that, Father, that we are casting cares upon you, and you are very willingly taking them and helping us in our time of trouble. Father, we're grateful and thankful for the way that you work in our life, Lord, speaking clearly at the time when we need it, Lord. Opening doors and closing doors, that we can trust in you, believing that you have our best interest at mind. Father, you love us and care for us so much that you sent your Son, that you lived this life, that you did all the things that needed to be done so that we could be declared right with you. And that, Father, because of that, you're able to pour these blessings upon us, Lord, and we choose to receive of those blessings. We choose to say, I just trust in what you did. I don't feel like I'm right. I don't feel like I'm good enough. I don't feel like I'm worthy. But I know that you said it is, therefore it is. I am right with you because of what you have done. I thank you for that. Thank you for blessing us. Thank you for pouring it out and taking care of us, meeting our every need. We give in you all the praise and the glory in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen and amen. Amen. Trust in the Lord.